Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Panther designer Courtney Cronin still up at Halas. She never stops working, ladies and gentlemen. That's why she's the best in the business. As a mini camp getting started today, and me and Courtney were just kind of talking about how we felt about mini camp. And Courtney, I think we both kind of came away with the same opinion. We saw football players go to work today, and that's kind of what we saw. There wasn't anything amazing. It just felt like, as Ben Johnson said, a continuation of what we saw in OTA 1 and OTA 2.
And we saw more intense practices during the OTA periods that we were out there for. Like, today was very similar in terms of the practice script for what they ran the last two times that we were out there. And then they've got two more days of mini camp. That's when Ben Johnson said they'll start to have the call it periods, a little bit more, you know, chance for them to go out of structure and to, you know, keep players locked in. Guys are probably like used to running this so many times by now where it's like, all right, we got to switch it up to give them something to make sure that you keep them on their toes. You find out how they react in situations that they might not be prepared for. And I think it gives the play callers a chance, both Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen, to dip into their bag. Obviously, still very vanilla. They're learning the offense. They're learning the defense. They're not going to like pull out all of the stops now, but it'll give them a chance to, you know, flex that muscle a little bit the next 2 days. But today was a work day. Like, I think you categorized that perfectly. It was a day for them to get into a very well-attended mandatory mini camp. Certainly, there's some injuries that we're keeping an eye on that kept guys out. But, you know, there's no drama around this team right now. Like, I mean, in previous years, like, some guys don't show up because there might be a contract thing. There might be some contention that's getting worked out in the offseason. Like, this is, you know, everybody's here. Everybody's here. Yeah. Everybody's participating, and they've got two more days of it.
Yeah, we'll see how this all plays out. Want to talk about some of our takeaways from the first day of minicamp. I think the one thing that you're going to look at is their competitions are still alive and well. And maybe a competition at a spot. That is my one takeaway from today. Maybe a competition at a spot we didn't think there would be nearly as much competition at. But we do got to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6 right off of I-80-94. All right, Courtney. Like I said, to start, I think if anybody had any major takeaways from today, you're probably trying to get people to watch an episode. Like, I don't think there were any major takeaways from today's practice. But of course, the big conversation around the Chicago Bears right now is, who's playing at left tackle. We saw Karan get the start with the number ones. And listen, when he looked bad, the last time we saw him get the start, I was very hard on him. I got to give him credit today. Looked like a left tackle. He looked like somebody who knew the plays that they were running, knew where to be, knew what position to be in. And the one thing that I can say about these practices we've seen, Courtney, especially from the offensive line, is we haven't seen a ton of penalties. Probably saw our first one in a while. Late in the practice today, and I think it was the second team offensive line in there.
Because they know they're going to hear about it. I think that how Ben Johnson has consistently called things out and blown plays dead before, you know, obviously the pre-snap procedure stuff that's gotten in the way is expected at this time of year when you're learning a new playbook. But, you know, the more you do it, the more you rep it. And this has been 2 weeks since we've seen with our own eyes Karan Amagaji as the first team left tackle. Like, clearly, he's made some strides. Now, you can't really tell the strides that he's made until he's got pads on, until we see what the actual competition is going to be at left tackle. But my biggest takeaway is that they're going to continue doing what they said they were going to do. Rotate those two in until Braxton Jones comes back, which will be training camp. So you've got a great opportunity if you're Ozzie Tripillo, if you're Karan Amagaji, to show where you stand going into the offseason. Because when they say goodbye, you've got 6 weeks to make sure that you stay in shape, to make sure that you know the playbook, to make sure you come to training camp prepared. What can you do these next 2 days to continue to, you know, put forth the best work ethic that you can out there? And I would assume it extends to the offensive line, but like something I thought DJ Moore said that really, you know, got my wheels turning today, when he's talking about how I perceived it to be like this internal monologue that players are having with themselves. Did I have the best effort on that? Was I slacking or was I going full speed? I imagine that everybody's feeling that because of how Ben Johnson's coaching these practices to where it's making you stop and think, if you really are giving out the best version of yourself. So for somebody who's in the middle of a position battle right now, that's going to ring true, you know, loudly. And that's a good thing. It's different though. When Ben Johnson talked about the continuity element and what you have up front right now, it's got to be, you know, this has got to feel more normal to him than not, of where you've got four positions that effectively feel set and you're just focused in on the left tackle spot. That's how the offensive line for, you know, the better part of the last 3 years he was there, it was set just about every year going into minicamp, going into training camp. You know, now they've got one position they can zero in on, but because everything is still so new, how you're coaching guys who might be in year one versus year 10, like you're still coaching them the same. You're not singling out like, oh, we're just coaching this left tackle position. Everybody else is Gucci. They can just stay and do whatever they wanted to, how they've been playing the last couple weeks, whatever their position. I think that there is an element of, you know, that's a good thing for a coaching staff, but they also know that this is still a brand new scheme. So Karan, Ozzie, as they're trying to pick it up to like learn what they're doing at left tackle, so is Joe Tooney, so is Drew Dahlman, so is Jonah Jackson and Darnell Wright. They just have the beauty of they're playing next to each other. Those four have not moved at all during the OTA period, and certainly that carried over today to minicamp.
Yeah, and listen, the big takeaway right now, I think you hit the nail on the head. You can't sit here and definitively say one way or the other that anybody's going to win a job or lose a job. But I do like the fact that you're seeing these guys not be stagnant. I think that's the one thing last year that really stood out when watching Flus is, you know, as we go through OTAs, as we go through minicamp, as we get to training camp, and we're into training camp and we're seeing me and Courtney, how many times did we talk about pre-snap penalties, pre-snap problems that they were having before even running a play with Justin Fields, with Caleb Williams? Like, this is our third practice that we've gotten an opportunity to attend here with all of the veterans present. Of course, we'll be back up there tomorrow. And it feels like this Bears team has grown just from OTA 2 that we got a chance to see, from OTA 5, I think it was, that we got a chance to see, to now training camp today, where, yes, today was a very work-like mentality. I don't think there were a ton of special plays that you take away from them. But it does feel like the coaching, the clips of Eric Bieniemy yelling at running backs, the conversation around Ben Johnson getting on Cole Kmet's case, it does feel like those are things that actually are helping this Bears team continue to move forward, even if it is just incremental progress.
Well, they know what's expected of them. Like week one of phase three. So like the OTA started May 20th, I believe. Yeah. So that's 2 weeks ago. They now know, okay, this is what it means when Ben Johnson does this in a practice. This is what we can expect when the whistle's blown dead and he starts chewing out a player. Like, I think that it takes time to get used to that because it might seem jarring, or it might seem not, like, you know, Cole Kmet said this is more of a unique style that he's been coached with this year. It's not to say he wasn't ever coached hard. He made sure to preface that. But how he's receiving the coaching from Ben Johnson in what's being told to him is different. And I go back to that example. So it was like 2 weeks to the day tomorrow when we're all in the Walter Payton Center. It was the rainy practice. Cole gets chewed out because he's lined up what he said was about a yard off. So it's not like this huge, oh my God, you're completely out of position. You're supposed to be over here and you're on the other side of the formation. He said that he was cheating himself out of a play. And Ben Johnson notices it. It's the first time, mind you, that we heard from Cole explaining kind of his side to this. I thought he gave a really good answer that when Johnson sees that, blows the whistle dead, yells, gets everybody to the huddle during 7-on-7, explains what needs to be done differently. Cole goes out, runs the play, and Johnson tells him afterwards, hey, man, I was trying to get you the damn ball. Like, you're seeing how the coaching, like, it has an end game. And when players can see that, I think players are much more willing to buy into it and see, okay, like, that's what he means by that. Like, that's the result you get if you do this properly. And, you know, hearing veteran players talk about that, it's not just young players who are buying in and, you know, don't know what they don't know. DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, those two have played on multiple different teams. Swift played on 3, DJ's played on 2, Cole's only played on 1. But Cole's been through more change than anybody else in this building. Him and Jalen Johnson.
Him and Jalen,
Bears players. He's on his 5th offensive coordinator, 5th play caller this year in Ben Johnson. Eventually, you get it right, that change isn't the constant. Like, the constant, in theory, should be something better. Like, I don't know, wins, progress, other things that you can measure for a player who wants to succeed. And so I think that we're seeing players learning what Ben Johnson expects. And there's a tangible thing you can take away from that. It's not just these grand ideas of, like, you know, effort, hustle, intensity, yeah. You know, the HITS principle was something that was never really.
We moved past that, Courtney. Yeah, we're not going back to that.
Like, think about how many times that was brought up. And it's like, all right, how do you measure that? Like, and of course, the team had, you know, the last coaching staff had metrics for that. But
yeah,
like, it never really felt like, all right, if I do the HITS principle, I see this. When you listen to Ben Johnson's coaching, you take the coaching, you understand why he's yelling at you, then this happens. And so far, players are articulating that in a way that shows positive growth from the beginning of OTAs to where they are right now. And just knowing what's expected of you, because I don't know if those expectations were clearly defined from what the coaching staff expected from players last year.
I think you, to me, bringing up the HITS principle is perfect in this, because there's this principle that we watched over 3 years, people disrespect left and right. In practice, during games, we had players who had to apologize to the team because they were loafing too much on the field, or they weren't blocking hard enough on the field. Meanwhile, this is your HITS principle. Meanwhile, looking at this, right, maybe we're not seeing a lot of the big down the field plays or the explosive plays just yet. But I think it's the focus of what the coaching staff is trying to get out of this. They're not focused on the explosive plays just yet. Why? Because we don't need to have explosive plays when we don't got dudes that know how to line up in the perfect spot, or as Ben Johnson keeps emphasizing, right, not having the proper cadence when you start to get a little bit more fatigued when calling plays. If you're going to mess up in those moments, then the explosive plays never happen.
They don't matter.
If you're not prepared in the pre-snap moment, which how many times did we see that under the HITS principle, that you weren't prepared in the pre-snap moment to get to hustle, to be intense, to get takeaways? It didn't matter if you had somebody down the field who was hustling to get open, because you already got a false start call on a flag over here. So I think the coaching staff right now is just simply focused on getting these guys in the right mindset and getting these guys into the system and into the scheme that they are running that is a lot more focused and a lot more detailed than maybe what they had previously.
It's process driven right now. And I know that it's not the sexiest thing. Like,
yeah,
and it's the off season. Like, none of this stuff is going to blow your socks off. But if you teach people how to be coached right now versus waiting for training camp to really start to emphasize, you know, what are the most important points that we're trying to hammer home every day? What happens when you do make a mistake? How do we want to correct that? Like, all of this stuff is, I'm sure, you know, it all blends together, because it's all we've been talking about the last couple of months about Ben Johnson, this intensity, what we expect to see. We're seeing it in real time, and players are responding to it in real time. Like, when DJ Moore talked today about, I think it was Deion Miller who asked him the question of, do you feel like this locker room needed that sort of intensity? And he said, yeah, like, it shakes things up. It keeps them on their toes. It keeps people accountable. And most importantly, it keeps guys motivated, because there's a proof of concept here that they are able to look at with Detroit, of how Ben Johnson coached his players there as an offensive coordinator and how successful that offense was. And that was a disciplined team. Like, think about, like, you know, like, penalties and things like that. You're not talking about the Detroit Lions, like, all the pre-snap stuff, all of the, you know, certainly after the snap, post-snap, reckless stuff. You don't become, you know, the top team in the NFC North and one of the top teams in your conference if you're undisciplined in that manner, because those things get, you know, beaten into you, into your brain, more or less, at this time of the offseason. That's what these players are learning, and they're going through the process of knowing, yeah, this might suck some days. It might be really hard. It might be, you know, exhausting to have to run plays over and over. And it's not like we're seeing them mess up time and again. Like, Ben Johnson keeps saying, like, look, it looks messy still, but that's expected. I don't think, like, I mean, the amount of
cleanest practices we've seen.
Yeah, like, for comparison's sake, what we've seen before, like, there's, you know, this looks a lot more polished than previous years, which I'm sure the players probably feel the same way.
I can't wait to see what this thing looks like polished. And you know what? I will say this too, and I wonder if there's some of this that has to take place here to make sure that guys are paying attention to detail. I was watching the Pivot podcast, and they had Coach Belichick on recently, and he talked about how he would get on Brady, how he would get on some of those main guys, almost to set the tone of like, if I can cuss him out, y'all better not say nothing to me. Cole Kmet, one of the first guys he's called out. I think all of us in the media room was like, is Cole getting cussed out right now? Like, I've never seen Cole get cussed out. And even, you know, see, I thought it was very interesting what DeAndre Swift said today, where when I asked him about, you know, the difference between Ben as the OC and Ben as the head coach, he was like, he's being more serious now because he has to be. And then he kind of chuckled after that, but continued to say that he's done a hell of a job and seeing him transition from where he was before and the growth as a coach and as a man, excited to play for him again. But like, I think there's a part of this in the beginning where Ben is kind of like, all right, guys, look, what we did previously is unacceptable. By the way, for us to get to where Detroit was at, this is the kind of coach you're going to need, and I have to show that right now. Not that it's a show, but that he understands what this Bears team need and is adapting himself to that and is forcing some of the leaders in this locker room to have to adapt to that as well.
Well, what if we talked about with culture? And I know J-Mac has mentioned this before, like the coaches set the culture. The players are then responsible for carrying it out. If you get buy-in, because proof of concept, guys have to see anybody, any industry, anything. You need to see something works in order to buy into it. Most people aren't just going to give you blind faith. And Ben Johnson has a really good track record. So him showing these players what they need to do via intense coaching. And I mean, it's not like they're on 10 every single time that we're out there. Like there are moments that you can pick up on where it just looks and feels different than it did last year because simple things were not being, didn't have as much attention to detail. Like when Kmet says he's obsessed, Ben Johnson obsessed with these details, you can understand where he's coming from there because you can't run stumble bum if you don't have every single detail T crossed, I dotted, perfectly executed. That becomes a disaster. If one of 11 players is doing something wrong or is a tish off from what they were doing, you can't run that sort of play. Ben Johnson was brought in here for his offensive innovation. We know this is a complex offense. There's a lot to learn right now. So to learn the basics of a very complex offense and an offense that's going to require these players to do a ton, you better make sure that the fundamentals, as cliche as that sounds, are not things that you're messing up on. And if you are, figure it out now instead of getting to training camp to where you feel like you're climbing an uphill, you know, it's an uphill battle because you're still trying to learn the very basics while also doing the more complex stuff as they start to give you more of the playbook.
Yeah, we'll see what Ben Johnson is able to accomplish here over the next couple of days. This is the first time we'll get an opportunity to take a look at, okay, what does the next day of practice look like after going through this? By the way, the coach who was losing it today wasn't even Ben Johnson. It wasn't even Dennis Allen. It wasn't, well, Eric Bieniemy's always kind of losing. It was a little bit of Eric Bieniemy, but not really ever. It was Richard Hightower who was getting after guys. I think Zacchaeus muffed a punt. Or a kickoff, and Hightower's getting after him. So it's infectious because Richard Hightower is probably the most docile coach that I've ever seen in my life. And this Ben Johnson effect, as Caleb Williams said, is really showing out. One thing that I did see today, and oddly enough, bringing up Olamide Zaccheaus, I know that Luther Burden was drafted in the second round, and so because of that, Bears fans' minds instantly goes to Luther Burden is going to be the number three wide receiver. That may be the case here, right? But both of these guys were brought in under Ben Johnson's guys here. You drafted Luther Burden. You signed Olamide Zaccheaus, both of Ben Johnson here. And Zaccheaus has shown up in these first few OTAs and today at minicamp. He's become somebody who in the slot Caleb Williams has been able to really lean on and trust, especially when things are breaking down with offensive linemen not wearing pads and stuff like that. Courtney, dare I say, don't sleep on him, at least to start the season, being a guy that they look like at that starting wide receiver three.
Yeah, I know obviously right now we have not seen Luther Burden since rookie minicamp. He's dealing with a soft tissue injury. He's obviously here.
He's here,
but he's not on the field. Anytime you're not on the field and you're a young player trying to learn a playbook, trying to learn what you can do to get on the field, it's going to put you back. So it's good that they have somebody who, you know, they signed this offseason. They clearly saw you resurrected your career in Washington last year. Come, be good high-end depth for us in Chicago. Like that's a good sign. You know, certainly the pass today that Caleb threw to him over the middle, that was probably my big takeaway, the one that happened during the early
portion. Probably Caleb's best throw today.
Yeah, throwing over the middle of the field is required to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I think that sometimes those can be difficult, you know, leading receivers into tricky situations and being able to, you know, find the timing to let your receivers get open. You know, those are things Caleb's going to have to continue to work on, but good play today. As it pertains to, you know, what happens when Burden gets on the field, you know, he's a second round pick for a reason. I think that the Bears are really excited about what he can provide this offense. Hell, DJ Moore was talking about it, that he, you know, was excited, and it's tough that he's not out there with him right now, to get to see what their big three at receiver could be between himself, Burden, and Roma Dunze. But I don't look at it as anything more than, hey, there's a high end player who you want to get reps in. That's out right now. You want to test out what you have behind him. So whether it's him, obviously Duvernay is a return specialist. That's probably where he'll shine the most. But we had seen in OTAs him getting some reps with the ones. I think it's a rotation, like just for right now. Hell, DJ Moore's been in the slot quite a bit during minicamp and during OTAs. Does that stay the same? Like, I don't know. Maybe that foreshadows something. Maybe it doesn't. But it seems like they're really moving a lot of guys around and not afraid to try people, especially receivers, in different spots than they maybe normally wouldn't be in season.
Yeah. And listen, there's a long way to go. It's just seeing a guy, and this has kind of been the theme with some of this, right? Braxton can't fight back right now for his spot. And so you look at the best of what you have at that left tackle position. Right now, Luther Burden can't compete for that wide receiver three slot because he is banged up and he's dealing with the soft tissue things. And when you see Zacchaeus, he looks really good. The hope is that it's just really, really good depth, which is not a problem to have because this is football and people get hurt.
Sure.
You bring up Devin Duvernay. I think Duvernay was somebody who it's weird to see. This is going to sound like a shot. It's kind of a shot. It's weird to see 12 catching the football so much on the field. But he's somebody who is being relied on, not only in just number one moments in the slot, but even, you know, today with Tyson Bagent, you saw him getting the ball a ton. So there's a belief in the guys that have been brought in that we're willing to go to you. We've already got a trust with you and that we want to work with you in the system.
Yeah. And I mean, now's the time to build up that rapport. I don't read too much into it. Like, I know what DJ Moore said today and, like, throughout the day. When I asked him about goals for himself, I mean, you're in year eight. Like, what do you do to keep it fresh? Like, you've done something clearly very well for the last couple of years to get yourself a $110 million contract. Like, how do you take the next step? And he's like, well, I don't have any goals right now because I'm still learning this offense. I don't know how many touches I'm going to have. I'm going to have less if they're going to use me the same as they did before. Maybe that's a little, like, just, I don't know, tongue-in-cheek, the right word to use. They're like, he's your number one receiver. Like, come on. Like, they're going to use him a lot. But I do think there's something to be said about how they're willing to test out what this offense could look like with a number of different guys and a number of different personnel. And that's, you have a 90-man roster. You have to make sure that you're getting enough run through, and you have to make sure that you have contingency plans for injury and all of that. But I don't know if I read anything more into it more than this is typically pretty routine from what we see during the off season for most teams, where, you know, you do have guys who are more established veterans and players that you are expecting to have bigger roles because, you know, that's just the way that depth charts work, whether there's an official one or not. But Ben Johnson's not afraid to push people out of their comfort zone, whether it's through coaching or whether it's through putting them in position to do things differently.
Yeah. And that to me is what has stood out the entire time, is he is pushing these guys. That part where he said, he looked out into the press conference, he was like, there's going to be guys that are uncomfortable and this is going to be fun. That's playing out through every practice that we've seen here. I would not say that Caleb Williams looks comfortable yet. I would not say that Cole Kmet looks comfortable yet. I wouldn't say that DJ Moore
looks comfortable yet. I wouldn't expect guys to. Like, wouldn't that be a little weird at like early June if you're like, oh, I've got this thing in the bag? If that was the case, then why couldn't you learn the last offense? You know what I mean?
Like, it would be weird, but it'd be like, wow, these guys are amazing at teaching this offense.
No, I mean, it's so unrealistic. Like, you know, for us to think anything's going to be fully grasped by now, which is why, there are moments where I think Caleb looks uncomfortable. And Ben keeps referring to the mistakes and that it's okay. Like, I think there's a reason he keeps bringing it up and couching it with, it's the offseason, mistakes are going to be made. And just knowing how to balance that. Like, how do you balance, hey, you guys made progress here, but you still have like a ways to go here. Maybe you took a step back here, focus in on that. There's a lot of different areas that he has to figure out. Like, where are we improving? Where are we staying stagnant? What's taking a step back? And you hope that there isn't much, unlike you teach something and then guys just don't get it. You would immediately, if the philosophy remains true to the coaches too, you'd immediately go back to the drawing board instead of trying to force it through and hope that players would get it. So I think these are good signs. I mean, obviously it's optimism that gets sold every offseason up here at Halas Hall, but the way that players are talking about this coaching feels a little different than how they talked about it in years past, because it feels like they're actually willing to take this on.
Yeah. I think even the big one with the body language, right? That's kind of the first question that DJ Moore ended up getting asked about. Me and you were two people who were like, listen, I get it. Like, maybe there's body language issues or there's things you can take from. It's kind of just DJ's face. Like, there's a lot of times when he's in the locker room, he looks the same. But even DJ said, you know, it's something that we just can't do. We can't give anybody ammunition to go at us. It's something that we have to be conscious of, which I think is very... For DJ, I feel like it's very big, the conscience of part, because I do think a lot of it is just like, all right, well, that didn't work. Let's go back to the bench and sit down and figure this out. And he just kind of has a mopey face at times.
And they said this about Caleb last week, that it's not just the quarterback that needs to work on his body language. Like, it was interesting. I was doing SportsCenter today, and we talked about, for the hit I had to do in the 130 SportsCenter, like, you know, what visuals do you want? And I'm like, well, body language. How about the Minnesota game where he's laying on the ground too long, or he's on the bench writhing in pain, and you can understand it, but you can also be like, that's probably what Ben Johnson said. We don't want to look like that. But there's other examples of it. DJ walking off the field in Arizona while the play's still going on. What happened in week two when he's mouthing something to Tyson Bagent about, like, I don't know. I remember it was like, you need to get me out of here. Or you need to get out here and help. I don't know, something.
Yeah.
There's too many instances of it where it was like, it couldn't not be addressed. So when DJ tells us today that he had an instance of bad body language that got nipped quickly in the offseason, that it was something he learned from, and he's like, I'm not going to do it again. That's a learning thing. Like, this is a learning process for guys to break habits of past behavior that could be detrimental to not only their own success, but like team success. And that's, you know, that's a part of the learning process as much as it is like learning a new offense.
Yeah. And that, to me, I think that's what stands out is, you know, with DJ Moore, with Caleb got hit 68 times. I think we all can understand some of the body language, but Ben Johnson is saying, hey, not acceptable. Don't show it. With DJ, I just think it's his personality to be like, nah, that didn't work. Let me go back to the other side. But even in that moment, Ben Johnson saying, I get what you're saying. We can't show that. We can't put that on film, because that shows, I think what Ben Johnson said is it shows weakness.
Yeah, he said like, that's a sign of a weak team. A team is like palms up, like questioning things. And that's, you know, that's how you can fracture really quickly. Now, I think it's hard to tell about body language at this time of the off season. Like, what,
everybody's kumbaya.
Yeah, like, you know, they're in shorts. They're not doing anything that's going to like get people really rattled. So you'll start to see like, all right, how is that body language improved? Has it improved during training camp, when, you know, those joint practices will be the good time that get the body language meter out for the Miami joint practice. The first one.
Yes.
When Caleb Williams has you know, an edge rusher coming full steam at him, and if he's got a free rusher, if a sack's given up, how does he respond then? Because I don't think you can gauge it truly until, like, you can talk about it now. You can say, hey, this is what we don't want to do, but I don't think you can really see where they've improved with that until much later on in the offseason.
Yeah, I was going to say the joint practices, I think, are really where it will stand out, because those are going to be the moments where I asked J-Mac and Yurko about this. You know, is there pride when you've got these joint practices and somebody is coming to Halas Hall to practice with you? And he was like, it's kind of like the game. Like, you're coming into my house and you want to, you know, beat us up and down the field, and we're not going to let you do that. There's a pride that takes place there. And so because of that, emotions will probably be a little bit higher, and that'll probably be when we'll be able to get our first real look. Maybe more Buffalo. I don't know. Miami's got a good defense. I guess both of them. I feel like we got faked out last year with the Cincinnati Bengals, defense because we were just like, man, Kayla was really moving the ball. And then we watched the season and everyone could move the ball on Cincinnati's defense. So, But we'll see what ends up happening. I'm glad that day one of minicamp is in the books. And now it's going to be exciting to see how this team adjusts going in here to day two. We'll keep you posted here on the Chicago Bears podcast, as always. So stay tuned in with us. We thank you to Courtney Cronin, as always, for tuning in with us. And thank you for watching as well. It's your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again. Day two coming up tomorrow. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Big Bear Don, one love. Peace.